That sounds good. Well, good morning, everybody. That was lovely, wasn't it? And to go outside in the sunshine, that was really the icing on the cake. I'm going to pluck some words out of the Old Testament this morning. And I want to use those few words as a foundation of what I want to say to you this morning. The words are found in the prophecy of Isaiah back in the Old Testament. You needn't turn to them, but if you want to, they're on page 726 of the Church Bible. It's Isaiah chapter 40, and there's one verse that I would like to read to you, but then just pluck certain words out of that verse and just, as I say, use them as a foundation of what I want to say. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 20 says this: "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." If we go back just a few verses before then, into verse 21 of the same chapter, we read something very similar. It says there, "Do you not know? Do you not hear?" Those few words in Isaiah 40, verse 28, I'm taking out of context just a little bit this morning, but for some of you, it shouldn't send any alarm bells ringing, but it's just a little bit of a warning to say that I'm just taking those few words a little bit out of context. Have you not known? Have you not heard? For those of you here who attend church quite regularly, be it this one here at Grace Church or be it another one, you, I'm sure, would be slightly amused if you discovered that you were going to get a new pastor. And the name of that new pastor was a man by the name of Gossip. The name of Gossip. You may find yourself thinking that you hope his character isn't a reflection of his name, or that his name isn't a reflection of his character. Well, there was a man by the name of Gossip. His Christian names were Arthur John, who pastored several churches. He was a Scotsman. He pastored three north of the border, and he pastored for a while a church in Liverpool. And my understanding of that man was that he was a very godly man, and that he pastored those churches very, very well. Long before he ever pastored a church, he was a chaplain in the British Army. And one of his primary roles as a chaplain in the army was to go and talk regularly to the men who had been put under his care. It's on record that he would go and speak to these men. And one of the questions that he would often ask them was this. It's on record. "What do you want me to talk to you about today?" And again, it's on record what the answer was often of those men. And this was the answer that they would give him. "We want you to talk to us about Jesus Christ." And so for a few minutes this morning, I'm not going to keep you here long. I am going to talk to you about that very person, Jesus Christ, and things relating to him. Have you not known? Have you not heard about this wonderful person, the second person of the Godhead? We as Christians believe in the Trinity, a three in one, Father, Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And so when those of us who are here this morning, who call ourselves Christian believers, say that we believe in Christ, we're saying that we believe in the second person of the Trinity, in the second person of the Godhead. We believe in the first and the third also, but we believe in the second person of that Godhead. Have you not known? Have you not heard about this wonderful person, Jesus Christ, who was God manifested in human flesh? Completely profound. God manifested in human form, who stands head and shoulders above everyone else who has ever lived. I am not surprised that the Reverend James Francis, who was an American minister, said this of Jesus Christ: all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as that one man, Jesus Christ. I say this very, very carefully because I'm not into celebrities. So I say this very carefully, but Jesus Christ is the celebrity of celebrities. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He is the centerpiece of the human race, and nobody, if they were completely truthful, could deny it. He is the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this planet. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. Have you not known? Have you not heard about this wonderful person, Jesus Christ, who was God manifested in the flesh, who was God's own precious Son? I don't know about you, but do you long for our politicians, the leaders of our nation, to be people that are gracious? I don't know about you, but do you long for the leaders of our nation to be people that are truthful people? I don't see anything very gracious about the leaders of our land, and I question their truthfulness on a regular basis. But the Bible says this of Jesus Christ: he came from the Father full of graciousness and full of truth. Have you not known? Have you not heard that this wonderful person, this second person of the Godhead, was a gift? It was a gift. John, writing in his account of Jesus, in his gospel, says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." The Apostle Paul, who was one of the early church leaders, for the want of a better description, writing in his second letter to the believers, to the Christian believers in Corinth, he says this: "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Some versions render it his inexpressible gift. And that word, whether you use indescribable or inexpressible, speaks to me of wow. Wonder of wonders. And words simply do not do him justice. Words cannot express how indescribable he is. Have you not known? Have you not heard about this wonderful gift? I am not surprised, really, that both Rosie and Martin, along with millions of others, did you know that we are told that the only place that Christianity isn't expanding in the world today is in Western Europe? And so I'm not surprised that Martin and Rosie, along with millions of others, have accepted this wonderful, this precious gift as theirs, and have decided gladly to follow this wonderful person, Jesus, and to adhere to all that he stands for, and to obey his precious commands. For them to be baptized this morning, they are following one of those commands. Those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I emphasize this word, are sometimes good at talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That word gospel literally means good news. Good news. You know the old saying, no news is good news? Well, the coming of Jesus into this world is news, but it's good news. It's wonderful news. It's brilliant news. I regularly find myself saying to people, when did you last hear real good news on your television screens? When did you last read of good news in your magazines or in your newspapers? Just maybe it was a few weeks ago when Boris was elected as Prime Minister. I don't know. You may consider that good news, you may consider it bad news. But have you not heard? Have you not known that the coming of Jesus, God's precious Son, into this world is good news for you and for me? I love what Luke records in his account of Jesus, in his gospel, when he describes how the angels went to the shepherds, that we recall at Christmas time. And the angels say to the shepherds, "I bring you good news." The King James, in which I was brought up on, renders it, "I bring you glad tidings of great joy." The coming of Jesus into this world is something to be happy about. It's something to be excited about. It's something to be joyful about. Why? Have you not known? Have you not heard that the good news of Jesus is this? And Rosie explained it perfectly in her testimony just now. He is the one who spans the chasm, the gulf, that great big void that exists between God and us, between God and humankind. And nobody can tell me in all truthfulness that that chasm is not there. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There is no other way to God except through the person, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. Do you know, the Bible tells us that God has put eternity into our hearts. Do you know what that means? My understanding of that is that that is the reason why so many people, as they get older, And time passes away quicker and quicker, and time passes by and it gets shorter and shorter, they start to wonder what lies beyond the grave. And having a sense that something does. Have you not known? Have you not heard that this wonderful second person of the Godhead, of the Trinity, Jesus, the Son of God, said the most incredible, the most amazing, the most inspiring, the most joyous, the most wonderful, life-filled things that has ever been uttered in human speech, that has ever come out of the human mouth? And here's a couple of them. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Wow! That's good news. That's wonderful news. That's joyous news. And if that doesn't flick all your switches, then I don't think anything else on this planet ever could. I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it in all its abundance. Here's another. No one else other than Jesus could ever say anything like this. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live again. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live again. Wow. If you don't recall anything else from what I've said this morning, recall what's gone on before, please do. But if you don't recall anything else this morning, go home and think about those words. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live again. Absorb them. Really take them in. For we all face things in life that are certain. What's the old saying? Death and taxes, nobody can escape them. And death is one thing that is certain for us all, unless Jesus Christ returns again in the meantime, and I passionately believe that the Lord is coming soon. The tempo of the world is right. But if he doesn't, we all will die. But Jesus says to us, but those who believe in me, though they may die, yet shall they live again. In that wonderful portion of scripture that Clive read to us this morning in Acts and chapter 16, and we see there Paul and Silas in prison, and they're in prison because of an account of kindness, really, that they performed. But the Philippian prisoner asked them this question. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And I think I spent a lot of my life wondering what was I going to be saved from. And here's just a few, and we could think of many, and I could explain these at greater depth. But here's just a few of the things that we're going to be saved from. We're saved from the anxieties of this life. We're saved from the penalty of sin, the penalty of our rebelliousness towards God. Both those things I consider to be good news. We are saved from the judgment of God. Good news. We are saved from one day being cut off from the presence of God. All of those things are good news. The alternative is bad news. And that's why Jesus came, to save us from those things. The answer that Paul and Silas gave to that Philippian jailer, who obviously panicked, who obviously couldn't save himself, this was their answer. Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. We cannot earn our salvation. Islam teaches about the five pillars of salvation, and there's oh so many other wonderful, weird, and wacky ideas about how we can be saved. But the inspired word of God says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And then let the Spirit of the living God enable you to do all the rest. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The coming of Jesus into this world is wonderful news. The coming of Jesus, can I say, is man's only hope. And becoming a believer in him is just as thrilling and is just as wonderful. Shall we pray?